This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. As President Bush prepares to be inaugurated for his second term, his personal approval ratings are up in recent polls, but those same polls show concern about where the country is headed. In recent days, the president has been conducting a series of print and broadcast interviews, talking about his plans for the next 4 years and also for the next 4 days, including his inauguration on Thursday. NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts joins us each Monday. Good morning, Cokie.
Good morning, Renee.
There's been a lot of discussion about the appropriateness of this inaugural, extravaganza when we are at war. Is that unusual?
No, not really. The only time that we didn't have a big fancy inauguration at a time of war was in 1945 when Franklin Roosevelt was very, very ill. But the question of how to handle the inauguration has been controversial from the very beginning. When George Washington became president, he had this triumphal march from Mount Vernon up to New York, where the Capitol was at that point. This absolutely fantastic barge pulled him across the Hudson River. And even though he was wearing a plain brown suit, American-made, he was criticized for having the trappings of royalty and a lot of sniping at that. He was so popular that for him it was not much of a problem. Then some weeks later, however, Martha Washington came along, and the same thing happened all over again. Fireworks, church bells greeting her the whole way from Mount Vernon to New York. The same barge carried her across the river. And she, a woman who very much liked her silk, was wearing homespun, understanding that that was the appropriate thing for this occasion. These from the very beginning, the founders, men and women, understood that they were setting precedents for a brand new republic, and that what they did then would be followed probably for decades to come.
Well, after that first inauguration, was there a ceremony that sort of that was set in place for future presidents to go along with the copy?
Only the oath, which is in the Constitution itself. Washington's second inaugural, by this time the Capitol was in Philadelphia, was a much more simple affair, but he was none too pleased to be president again. He had been convinced to run again because the country was going to fall apart. Then when John Adams became president, it was this peaceful transfer of power, not to an inherited monarch. It was quite an event, but it was difficult because Thomas Jefferson was his vice president and he was from a different party. And Washington, the beloved Washington, was leaving. And there was a little bit of a dance as who would go out to the people first from the ceremony. And Washington insisted on going last, knowing he would get the biggest applause. Abigail Adams, John Adams' great helpmate, was not there. And she was off taking care of his dying mother, and he was desperate for her. He wrote to her and said, "It seems to me that the mother and daughter ought to think a little of the president as well as the husband, his cares, his anxieties, his health. Don't laugh," he said.
Cokie, coming back to the present, is there something President Bush can do this week that would alleviate the concerns of the electorate about where the country is headed as exhibited in the polls?
Well, the big concern, of course, is the war in Iraq, and I think that if the president gives some sense that he's reaching out to the world on that issue and to the Democrats on domestic issues like Social Security, it would probably make people feel better. In those interviews you talked about, the president says he's going to be doing just that. We'll see if he does, and if he does, how it's received.
Thanks very much, NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts.